Good morning, Wantana Church family. I should move this away. Many of us are at the tail end of our school holiday travels. It's a long weekend, as Michelle has said. So I gather some are actually watching online. If you are joining us for the first time, welcome. If you are joined us previously, welcome back. We have many who are our non-attending, non-Victoria regular Wantana Church family. Did I get that right? Who have been joining us online but live elsewhere. So welcome. We are starting a new series today called Back to Basics. Now, Sinead designed that, and she sent it to me and the pastoral team, and she's like, too much? I thought, no. She does such a wonderful job with our graphics, and certainly a lot of the ones that I use. And when she put this together, she was like, oh, yeah, you know. And it's, of course, if you've watched the Back to the Future movies, that's what it's based on. And I said, you know what, let's be bold about this. We want to get one thing clear, at least from the pastoral team, as we reset, as we kind of almost have to relearn how to do church again. Some of us may have forgotten. We want to get back to some solid biblical principles and foundations of why we're Christians and why we do what we do. So I thought, let's be loud and proud about it. Is that okay? Good. Thank you. I'm glad you agree. I can't, in many ways, wait for things to sort of return to a bit more of a normality. Don't forget, in case you missed the Living His Love segment with Kaz, next week we're going to have our first church lunch in almost 2.5 years. The last one was towards the end of 2019, and bring a plate to share. Isolation, contact rules, and all of that are now eased if you've been following the news, but still use some common sense when it comes to symptoms and testing. I'm sure you all have that. Now, of course, in the afternoon, we're having our Moving Forwards afternoon session, where we're just getting together just to plan, just to brainstorm, just a dream for our church in the next 3 to 5 years or so. Okay, our topic today that we're starting with is love. It's the most important basic. It's the basic of basics. But I'm going to pray again. Thank you, Brian, for that beautiful prayer. I feel like I'm always speaking too fast before I pray. So that kind of helps me gather my thoughts a little bit. But I'm going to kneel, and I invite you to bow your heads where you are as you pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to come before your people again, Lord, to open your word. Lord, my prayer remains the same, that you would hide the messenger behind the message and behind the cross of Calvary, that any and all glory goes back to you and to you alone. And Lord, of course, we ask that you not just open our minds, but that you open our hearts as well as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know what? There's a good chance some of you might be thinking, love? That's just too basic. I mean, you're probably thinking, I know what love is. It is the foundation of Christianity. It is the essence of Christianity. And you might be thinking, Yoshi, you've preached about love before, and you'll probably use some of the illustrations you've used before. You're probably going to talk about Nadia again, you know, and that. And I mean, love is love. Like, what more do I really need to know? Now, if you're thinking some of those things, yes, you're right. Love is love. It is the most basic of basics, and it is the foundation of Christianity. And yes, I probably will reuse some things which you have seen before, and I am actually not going to talk about Nadia, maybe. So we'll see. But at the end of the day, whatever you think about love, I don't really care, because I'm going to preach about this. I'm the pastor, and you are going to love it, and you are going to love me. And the church said, right. Now, that's not how it works, isn't it? That's not how love actually works. I mean, as long as we say it and we do things in love, then it's okay. Is that how it works? I want to show you a clip of love in action in church. It's actually by a pastor telling his congregation that he loves them. Now, what would you expect, I mean, from a video like this? This happened in Oklahoma 10 years ago. So hence the mediocre quality. And you can find this video reposted several times on YouTube because it was quite the eye-catcher. This guy, this pastor, just declaring his love for his congregation. And when I put up the video, don't worry about the verse that you'll see on screen immediately at the bottom, because he was talking about, he's talking about adultery and all that stuff. Don't worry about that, so don't get too distracted. He talks about the church as an institution, and then he decides to get impromptu and declare his love for his congregation. So check this out. Let's start again. Have you got audio?
This is a God institution. And it'd be surprised. Son, don't go to sleep while I'm talking. Hey, don't you lay your head back. I'm important. I'm somebody. Now, you might do your English teacher that way, but I'm not teaching English. I'm teaching eternal life here. I love you. You know I love you. Have I convinced you I love you? You better nod your head. Yes, all right. Come on, put it up there. All right. You stay awake and you listen to me. You say, well, he may never come back. Well, he ain't here now. And where have you been, Mr. Underwood? And I noticed on the calendar I'm supposed to marry y'all. What makes you think I'd marry you? You're one of the sorriest church members I have. You're not worth 15 cents. And you want me to marry you to her? And you want to marry him? And he don't even know where he belongs? And you don't even know where you belong? Now, let me tell y'all, everybody here, how much I love these kids. Do you know I love you, sir? Stand up, big boy. Do you know I love you? Mm-hmm. All right. Give me a little love. I'm the real deal. Right. I know you are, too, but you ain't been here. You can't get this in any other church in town.
And it goes on for another 3 minutes. He has a go at the people in the audio area and says, you have created your own kingdom, but I love you too. And yeah, I mean, he loves his church members. Can you tell? Maybe I need to show some of you. Okay. It must be true because he said it. He even gave the man a hug. Of course he loves them, right? I decided to not share the pastor's full name or his church. It's actually not that hard to find on YouTube or Google because not many pastors have been quoted as saying to a member, I love you, but you're not worth 15 cents while preaching. The clip went viral, and this was his response. Okay? You think, he probably had a bad day. This was his response. I know I'm right, and I know I haven't done anything wrong, the pastor told the Times. I don't want to offend. That's not my intention. Ah, see, now it's all okay. It's all forgiven. That was not his intention. It's all okay now. In fact, listen to what he says in his next response. This was to HuffPost.com and BusinessInsider.com. Business Insider, even they caught news of this. He said, his church applauds him and that his congregants love and esteem him. He said he has received emails and letters of support from all over the country and the world and asked that he not be judged by a 5-minute video clip. I mean, what is love? How do you define love? How do you understand love, especially in a biblical context? This was done in a church. Now, I don't know if people love and esteem him. I tried to find out more information about him, and I couldn't. His Facebook page has no posts, and this was like a couple of days ago. How do we define and understand love in a biblical context? For the rest of our sermon time today, we're going to divide our sermon into three parts, not necessarily three equal parts, but they all start with C. 3 points, all starting with C. We could, in fact, preach a whole year sermon on love. So I'm going to have to narrow it down to the next 90 minutes or so with just these 3 points. You guys didn't even blink when I said 19 minutes. Don't worry, it won't be 19 minutes. It's more like 87. All right, the first C out of the three that we're going to explore is simply the concept of love. How we understand love and the way this pastor has done it, love allows him to say or do whatever he wants as long as his intentions are loving. It's almost like it's a license to do whatever feels right to him at that point in time. The concept of love, well, many of us, is common sense. Unfortunately, common sense isn't so common. An article in Time magazine, time.com, this is the title. "We are defining love the wrong way." This is Time magazine, secular magazine, though this article specifically was written by a rabbi. "We are defining love the wrong way." And I find it interesting that Time got a rabbi to write an opinion piece on relationship. Let me read the first few paragraphs. "It is time to change the meaning of the word love. The word is mostly used according to the first definition given in a dictionary, an intense feeling of deep affection. In other words, love is what one feels. After years spent speaking with couples before, during, and after marriage, and of talking to parents and children struggling with their relationships, I'm convinced of the partiality of the definition. Love should be seen not as a feeling, but as an enacted emotion. To love is to feel and act lovingly. Too many women have told me, bruises visible on their faces, that the husbands who struck them love them. Since they see love as a feeling, the word hides the truth, which is that you do not love someone whom you repeatedly beat and abuse. You may have very strong feelings about them. You may even believe you cannot live without them, but you do not love them. The first love mentioned in the Bible is not romantic love, but parental love in Genesis 22. When a child is born, the parent's reaction to this person who so recently did not exist is to feel that I would do anything for her or him. In the doing is the love, the feeling is enacted. That's why we often hear the phrase, you don't act like you love me. We know in our bones that love is not feeling alone, but a feeling that flows into the world in action. So, we will come back to this action later on as we come to the second C. This first C, I want to talk about this concept of love. It is one of the most powerful, one of the most easiest, and one of the most ignored concepts in the Bible. When you go to a wedding, what's the passage that you hear just about at every single wedding? 1 Corinthians 13. You may not know the reference, but you would have heard it. Love is patient. In fact, let me put it up. The Bible says this: love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And we talk about this in the context of just a couple, and that's true. And it continues. It always protects. Oh, you know, the man you have to protect. Always trust. Yeah, loving, trust each other and all that. Always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever read that and wonder why? Why is faith, hope, and love grouped together? Like, what a random thing to group together if you're talking about a couple. In a couple, in a wedding, we rarely talk about faith and hope, right? So you might think, hang on. The reason why it's grouped together, it's because, well, love is the most important thing in a relationship. That is true. But the context of this passage is actually not marriage. Do you know that? In fact, if you really want to be strictly exegetical biblically about it, now don't get me wrong, I will still continue to use this passage when I talk about marriage, but this passage has nothing to do with marriage. Let's go to the previous chapter. Just to set the stage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this: "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. So Paul is actually talking about spiritual gifts. Okay, now we won't read all of 1 Corinthians 12. Here's a few quick verses. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Skipping to verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Verses 25 and 26, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So Paul is saying that, hey, the love concept isn't just for the couple. Now, it surely applies. And when you hear it again, there's nothing wrong. In fact, like I said, when I do a wedding sermon, I will definitely refer to those verses, this definition of love. But the immediate context, the broader context, is actually about how we should be Christians, how we should live life. That is the concept. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible closes out this chapter with this, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then he says, now I will show you the most excellent way. Let me tell you the concept of church and Christianity. It's not just for lovers. It's not about what you can get. The concept of biblical love is what you can give. And so he goes to chapter 13 and verses 1 to 3. If I speak in tongues and the tongues of men and have and of angels, but have not love. It's like, if I do all of these things, but I do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then after this is when we have that famous verse that I've just read, love is patient, love is kind. The basic concept of love is actually 1 Corinthians 13, not just for marriage, but for everyone. One of the challenges, as simple as it is that love has been made into a feeling. So we do whatever feels right, you know. And just like our pastor friend, if you read the rest, I watched the entire sermon, just in context, you know what he said? He says, I'm here to weed out the weak. That's my calling, and I do it in love. And like I said, while it still applies to weddings, and I still will read this passage, Jessica and Christopher, you are allowed to read this at your wedding. It's all good. It's not out of context. But I wonder, as much as I enjoy admin meetings and business meetings and board meetings and nomcom meetings, maybe we need to read this passage as our devotion every single time as the basic reminder and concept of why we do church. We talk so much about the concept of love, but let's hone in even a little bit more. Many of you have heard this before. I'm not going to go into it a lot of detail. Dan covered it when he talked about the I, which stands for interpersonal relationships. Creation. The creation acronym wasn't too long ago. There are four kinds of love that is expressed in the Greek. This is also in the Bible. Love for family. Pop quiz. Anyone remember? Besides Dan? Okay. Storge. Love for friends. Philia. Yep. Yep. Love, romantic, passionate love is eros. Yep. And this is the one that everybody would most likely remember if you've heard it. God's unconditional love is agape love. Okay. So these are, most of you know these concepts or at least don't disagree with it. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you think it's biblically important to be a loving person? Not a trick question. Put your hand up. Yeah, okay, I expect everyone's hand to be up. Okay, it's biblically important to be a loving person. Now, don't have to put your hand up. How many of you say you are a loving person? Okay, yep. Yeah, well, everyone's hand should be up, right? Because I love everyone. I'm the pastor. I love everyone. Except for those that I dislike. Those that come out in traffic. Hypocrites. Or people who wait in line. Or rude people. Or fake people. Or liars. Or gym people who don't wipe their sweat down after using an equipment. Or that don't put the stuff back. People who think they're right all the time. Ignorant people. Trump supporters. Biden supporters. Morrison supporters, Albanese supporters. Let's throw in the Greens and Pauline Hanson in there. Did I mention hypocrites and people who cut me off in traffic? But other than that, I love everyone. Right? Now, I'm being facetious, of course, mostly. The concept of love goes beyond just knowing it. The Bible has this to say about love in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. God is love. Not just God loves or is loving, but that He is love. So this is one of the most definitive and boldest statements the Bible makes. And John all but ties in the very concept of love into the personhood of God Himself. So much so, the entire verse, which isn't quoted as often, the Bible says this, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." He's saying, as a Christian, if you do not practice love, you might as well not be Christian. Which is why sometimes Christians so often excuse everything that they say and do with, "I do it in love." Now, by the way, I need to make a clarification. Loving someone doesn't mean putting yourself in harm's way. Okay? I can go into that. The rabbi alluded to it earlier. That's not love. Okay, now I'll move on. The point is, if you're truly doing something in love, you actually don't need to say it. It's kind of like, has everyone come up to you and says, "I don't mean to be rude, but," or "I'm not racist, but"? Now, I actually looked that up, and people say, "Oh, look, they're just trying to preempt what?" You know, they say, "Oh, but it's not my intention." Sometimes if you have to interrupt, and when I do, I say, "Excuse me, I'm really sorry for interrupting because I am being rude, but I do need to interrupt." And that's just, it is. It's not like I don't, you know. Anyway, the point is, if you truly want to live a godly life, just live it. You don't have to announce it. People will see it. To truly love, I think we need to understand this concept. We need to grasp what it means. The concept of love, of biblical love, unfortunately, beyond just this feeling, it's been clouded by just mainstream media. Here's what I mean. Back in 1993, there's a song called "What Is Love" by a guy by the name of Hathaway. Just deep lyrics to this song, right? Some of you know this. How does the song go? "What is love? Yes, the lyrics, some of you know it, not all of you do. The lyrics go, "What is love? Baby, don't hurt me no more." And it goes, and does that the whole song, just very deep words. And that's what it does. And I'm thinking, wow, that's the definition of love. And love songs today define love in a very sort of a human way. For example, love is like the opposite of hate. That's true to a degree, but this is where I want to come to the second C. So there's three C's today. The first, we discussed the concept of love, and now I want to talk about the second C. Now, before I move to the second C, I want to show you another clip. Now, this is a nice clip. This will make you feel good. I promise you that, because it's a clip where 100 kids are asked to define what is love. Okay? So it feels good. It's about 3.5 minutes long. The YouTube channel Hi Ho Kids. The link and the credit is in our video description if you're watching online. And they ask and answer the question, or rather, they are asked the question, "What is love?" Check it out.
Isn't that in a song? What is love?
Let's see.
No idea. I don't know too much about it.
Love means like you love someone, love something,
love them.
You fall in love with another person.
What is love?
The things that you like, love people.
Love is like a way of saying,
I love you.
Huh?
I love you.
A what? I love you is what you're saying.
Oh, I love you?
Yeah.
Aw, thank you. But what is love?
It's where you care about somebody and you live with them and you just love them. Like your boyfriend or your mom or dad.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Love means when you be nice and not mean and
you're interested in a person.
It's a feeling of happiness.
It's a sign of happiness.
Love is feeling.
Feeling. A good feeling.
A warm feeling.
It's a feeling and kind of a taste.
Where in your body do you feel love?
Mostly to the right, but sometimes the left.
In your heart.
Hot. My feet.
What is love?
Love is something that everyone has, but they still have to find.
Sometimes you can get mad.
Sometimes feels uncomfortable.
It's an emotion.
A heartbeat.
Love smells like flowers.
Love feels like butterflies.
It could mean different things, like you could like love your family.
Who's some people that you love?
My friend, my mom.
What is love?
That what is love.
What is love?
I don't know.
I don't know love.
Love is a thing that you like.
It's when you like somebody.
You like someone.
When people like each other.
A lot.
A lot.
Like a lot, a lot.
When two people
really
like each other.
So much.
If you like someone and you want to marry them.
Love is when you get married.
You get married.
If you have like a good relationship.
What is love?
A lion.
A fire.
What is love?
Angel.
To me, love is disgusting.
Love is
not being fake. When two people find each other in the world, caring for someone.
Caring about someone with your whole heart.
That you can trust. Someone you trust.
It's a passion thing.
When you're really happy.
Mushy-gushy.
Kissing somebody and hugging somebody.
When you hug someone.
Two people kiss.
Kissing.
Kissing.
Love?
What
love
is
like.
What is that?
This straws.
Straws?
The concept of love were alluded to, and it's one of those things, they're trying to make something intangible tangible. They're trying to put it into words, okay? Now, one thing that was repeated often, they talk about feelings, but they also talked about a number of things like hugging and kissing and telling someone and not being mean. That's actually closer to the biblical definition of love. This second C that we're going to discover and explore is what I call the conduct of love. Now, this is the pretty straightforward thing. And the conduct of love is divided into two things. And I'll cover some of this really quickly. The first is this idea of words. The conduct of love is expressed in words. We've covered that already. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" In Hosea 11 and verse 4, "I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love." So God continues to say, "I love you." And those three little words that mean so much and so difficult to say sometimes, God says, "I love you." He doesn't have a problem telling us that. But in a human perspective, sometimes it's a little bit harder. I'm going to pick on the men a little bit, okay? I'm just gonna look at my notes. I'm not gonna look at anyone. Okay, in my pages about love, and so I bookmark articles and I read them and I save them. This was after I Googled how to say I love you, and I've used this before. They've updated this. This page is called 15 Ways Guys Say I Love You Without Ever Saying a Word. Okay, 15 ways. Take note if you want to say, if you want to, you know, whatever. It starts off with this. Has your guy been fairly silent in the three little words department and you're trying to figure out the signs he means to say I love you? Not everyone is vocal or obvious about their feelings, and many of us often find it difficult to express those deeper emotions. But just how are you supposed to know that your man is actually in full-on love with you if he isn't saying it? So he's basically, the author is basically going, it's simple, but it's not easy, especially for men. Some of you here can relate. Now, before I give you the 15 things, right? God has no issues expressing the conduct of love in words. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. The Lord is passionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there are many more verses that I can show you. God wants to tell us in words that he loves us. But here's the best part. Not only does he want to tell us, he wants to show us. And the second part on the conduct of love is the one that is very obvious. It is the action of love. The words and the action. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now this, of course, echoes that famous verse about love that forms the basis of Christianity in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. At the end of the day, action does speak louder than words. Now, if God said all of those things but didn't do anything about it, would it really be love? For concept and conduct to go hand in hand, you must have words and action. You must have words and action. When you have one without the other, I'm not necessarily saying it isn't love, but it can feel incomplete. 15 ways that guys say I love you without ever saying a word. His kisses, this is not my list, by the way. Just want to put this out there, okay? His kisses are long and passionate. His friends love you. He likes to get close. He smiles after kissing you. He listens intently. He stands up straight. He squeezes your hand. He calls and texts for no reason. He sticks around. Can I just pause there? That's a society. It's like he sticks around. Anyway. He makes eye contact often. He runs his fingers through your hair. He mirrors your behavior. He buys you meaningful gifts. He laughs whenever you're around a lot. He touches you spontaneously. In an appropriate way, obviously. That's what the article is referring to. Now, you look at this list and tell me if any of these go, yep, if somebody did all of that, they definitely love the person, right? Brendan's like, yeah, I do all of that. Of course you love your wife. Honey, do I do all of that? You're supposed to say yes. Yes, yes. Gary Chapman talks about the five love languages. I won't go into that. That's another sermon altogether. Words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, physical touch, quality time. We all react to love differently. But the point is simply this. Human demonstration of love can sometimes be inadequate. What if, this is where I pick on the men, what if he never says, I love you? Now, I'm going to put this challenge to you men out there. Tell your wife, and for some women, Tell your husband. Tell your son. Tell your daughter. I love you. And for some, their response might be, what do you want? Right? And that's okay. Tell them anyway. Because for the concept and conduct of love to work together, you need words and action. And so we come now to the final C, which is essentially the summary of both concept and conduct. This is what separates human love from godly, biblical love. This is so simple, and it is the basic of basics, the foundation of Christian love. And it's based on my favorite passage, one of my favorite passages in Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The concept of love and the conduct of love, ultimately in the biblical sense, is fully reflected in the principle of Christ's self-sacrificing love for us. And herein lies the most basic of Christianity, Christ himself. It is the epitome of love for us. He wasn't just concept, and he wasn't even just conduct in words and action. When Jesus was on the cross, when those nails had pierced him and he's struggling to breathe, and he says things like, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He didn't just have a nice concept that he needs to carry out. He didn't go, I better conduct myself in a loving manner and just say it and actually just have words and action. Christ's love is a principle of self-sacrifice. It is a principle to look beyond yourself. So when your concept and your conduct only brings you joy, that's missing the picture of biblical love. The biblical concept and conduct of love is exemplified in Christ. I wonder how different our Christianity would be if we were able to meditate upon the cross, the ultimate symbol of love, just a few minutes each day. I want to close with a quote from my favorite author, well beyond her time and wrote many incredible books in spite of a third grade education. Ellen White says this in letter number 59 in 1880. True love is a high and holy principle, altogether different in character from that love which is awakened by impulse and which suddenly dies when severely tested. True love is not a strong, fiery, impetuous passion. On the contrary, it is calm and deep in its nature. It looks beyond mere externals and is attracted by qualities alone. It is wise and discriminating, and its devotion is real and abiding. Love is a precious gift which we receive from Jesus. Pure and holy affection is not a feeling, but a principle. What a contrast from this feel good, do whatever feels right. Now, I'm not dismissing the feeling. If anything, now, somebody said to me, you're definitely going to talk about Nadia Archuleta. Well, I love her, and I have strong feelings. But beyond that, I choose to love her, not because she's easy to love. And some people, you just have to choose to love. You don't have to be with them. You don't have to spend time with them. But the biblical principle of love is one of the most powerful, one of the most simple, and one of the most hardest things to do. Self-sacrificing love that is embodied in Christ. When we say here in One Turner, we want to know Jesus and to live his love. My prayer is that it's not just a airy-fairy sort of a feel-good concept. It starts there. We have to understand it. And it's not just a let's just say it. That is also important. I challenge you. Tell your family that you love them. It's not just doing it as the second part of the conduct. Do it, definitely, because saying it without doing it means absolutely nothing. But it is Christ's love that we want to exemplify, the self-sacrificing principle of love. I'd like to invite the praise team to come up. And as we reflect, as we consider what it means to love in our lives, and some of you will be challenged by this because I know there are many whom, as soon as I say, Yoshi says, you have to love everyone and self-sacrifice, there are five people in your head that you go, I can't love him, I can't love her. And that's okay. But get to know Jesus, and maybe as we journey together, you will find that power to love and to even forgive. Don't put yourself in harm's way if that's where you've been. Don't be rolled over like a doormat. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying to love as Christ loved, with his amazing love for us. Let's stand as we sing.